Okay. Well, greetings. Glad to be with you all tonight. I'll be watching the clock. If you happen to hear a voice go 7:20 or something, you'll know why. Because, well, for two reasons that I can think of right off the top of my head, although I'm sure there are more. First of all, I'm not an apostle, so you don't want me to go until midnight. And even if you did, I don't want to be responsible should somebody fall out a window. So, yeah. There we go. I'm not going to do that. So we will, and we'll try and take comments and questions as we can. What I'll do, I'll try and get probably to the first or second section after the introduction, and then we'll try and let people make some comments, provided we have the time, and I think we should. I titled this Learning from a King. I could actually title it Learning from Kings. And before getting to the lesson, I wanted to read from you some verses of Psalms 103. I want you to consider these words as we talk tonight about an ungrateful king. And I want you to consider how wonderful God is and how probably each of us, I know I do, needs to be reminded of what God does for his children and how much we owe him. We owe him just like we were talking about the invitation a little bit earlier. And the good thing about the invitation, by the way, if anybody is in need, which I don't know that there are because I don't know everybody's heart here, but if anybody is, even though the invitation time is over, the invitation is always open as long as God gives you breath and you have an opportunity even when the class concludes if you need it. This debt that we owe to God is so great that none of us as individuals or all of us collectively, in fact, not all of us collectively in the world or through all time, could possibly repay it. This psalm will give you a glimpse of pre-Jesus God's grace. We talk about the grace of God, amazing grace, but it actually is there because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to prove it, here's what David wrote, starting in Psalms 103, verse 1. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." That's a key phrase, forget not all his benefits. What does God do? Who forgives all your iniquities, all the sins you ever committed, he forgives them if you follow him. Who heals all your diseases. When we're sick, who do we go to for help? It's our Father in heaven. Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? And I'm sure that's true. At least that's what the scale tells me every morning. So that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So King David goes on, he'll continue, and if you want to read Psalms 103 during the week, it's a good psalm to read. David will give you some more evidence. It's worthy of your reading time. But now, let's just remember what those verses say. Remember the benefits of following God. Remember what he does for his children. We know that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster. Though we aren't living under the laws of Moses, we can learn many things about God. We can learn about mankind. We can learn about Satan. And we can even learn best ways to confront problems and life choices that we make today. God uses all kinds of men and women to teach us things from the least to the greatest. But tonight, we're going to talk about one of what the world would consider the greatest. We will be looking at King Joash of Judah. He's also called Jehosh, J-E-H-O-A-S-H. The other name is spelled J-O-A-S-H. His name means the Lord has given, or Jehovah given. Now that's kind of a nice thing for somebody to say about you, the Lord has given or Jehovah has given, but it means a lot when you read this king's story. Interestingly, Joash was one of three boy kings that I found in the Old Testament. The first one was, there was Joash, there is Josiah. He was 8 years old when he started to reign. And there was Manasseh, who was, his father was very righteous, but Manasseh was not. And he was 12 years old when he began his reign. So two out of the three kings, as you'll find out with Joash tonight, two out of the three kings didn't do so well. But Josiah, that's another story. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. And Josh began his reign at the age of 7. He was born in Jerusalem in 844 BC approximately. And he began his reign in 837 BC, and it ended 40 years later in 797 BC. Some will say it goes to 796 BC. He reigned as king of the southern Jewish kingdom, which we call Judea. That was the two tribes. First of all, the one thing that we can learn is, we can learn a couple things. The first thing we can learn is, it seemed that because he was in God's chosen line, King Josh didn't have a chance. You know, it's the same way for us today. We, if it wasn't for divine intervention, we wouldn't have a chance. Remember how we were talking earlier about God redeeming us, how he forgives our iniquities and everything? If it wasn't for the fact that Jesus came and died for us, none of us would have a chance. We would not have salvation. Shortly after the time of Joash's birth, Judea was ruled by a wicked woman. She kind of hijacked the kingdom. Her name was Athaliah, or Athalia, who ruled the land from 842 to 837 BC. She was born in Samaria, Israel, which is the northern kingdom, which was composed of the 10 tribes that broke away after the kingdom split when King Solomon died and his son took over. At the conclusion, probably Athalia was probably the daughter or maybe the sister of Ahab. We don't know for sure, but it's believed that she's his daughter. If she is his daughter, she was could have been born by Jezebel, and if she wasn't, she should have been because she sure acts a lot like her. Ahab's daughter she was just modeling herself in every way she could after Jezebel. Satan works in various ways, and it seems during the reign of Ahab, when he was king, Israel's foreign policy versus its local policy, its foreign policy, at least with regards to Judah, where Judah was concerned, Satan told him, let's just get along. Let's be in that mode. Let's be friends. Let's love everybody. Let's love King Jehoshaphat. Now, I'm taking you back to great-grandpa Jehoshaphat for a reason, to show you that sometimes things that we do can influence things that happen later, and if we knew how we would affect the future, we probably wouldn't do some of the things that we do. Because if we knew, if Jehoshaphat knew what he was going to cause to happen, or be at least involved in causing to happen, I don't think he would have done some of these things. Remember, Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, as far as Jehoshaphat said, they were brothers. They were allies. They were friends forever. What's confusing, though, is though they were supposed to be friends forever, don't worry about getting along or being loved if you were a prophet of God. Ask Elijah or one of Ahab's subjects who just happened to worship God. If they didn't worship Baal, there was a double standard if they lived in the land of Israel. And if you were a king that he needed to help you fight and win your battles, well, hey, brother, let's get along. It's okay to tolerate God. Indeed, let's tolerate him on our terms. It seems Ahab's, that was his model. He kind of reminds me of an old John Lennon song called Imagine, where Don't discuss politics. Don't rock the boat. Don't discuss religion. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a world without religion? Just agree to disagree and get along. Let's all love each other and get along. Perhaps you remember the story from 2 Chronicles 18. Now, this is an interesting story, because when King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat were together, they prepared to go to battle against Syria over Ramoth-Gilead. Israel said the city was theirs. Of course, Syria said, nah, it's ours. King Ahab brought all his prophets out, 400 plus prophets of Baal, and they said, go and be victorious, you're going to win this battle. But Jehoshaphat, he loved God, not enough to quit hanging around the world, but he loved God. And he said, can't you find a prophet of God to kind of tell us what we should do? So Ahab said, well, Micaiah is a prophet, and I can have him come, but he always says bad things. You don't want him to come and talk to us. But they did. In order to please Jehoshaphat, Micaiah was called. Micaiah prophesied against Israel, like he always did, warning of the imminent defeat of Israel, which was at hand. And King Jehoshaphat still is, King Ahab, I'll go to war with you. My people are your people. We're brothers. How could he do that? We're family, aren't we? I'll fight with you. Now, the Apostle Paul warns us about getting involved with the world. It doesn't mean we don't work with the world. It doesn't mean we don't help people in the world. But we don't let the influence of the world lead in our actions. We don't follow peer pressure. In Romans 12:2, Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it seems Jehoshaphat needed a reminder from Paul, and so did the future king, his great-grandson, Joash. And you know what? God is merciful. He sent them the reminders. He sent Micaiah to remind Jehoshaphat, and he sent a prophet to remind Joash too. And it's kind of interesting that I wonder if Paul, while he was admonishing the church of Ephesus, could have been thinking about these kings, reflecting on their lives and what happened with them. He wrote in Ephesians 5, chapter 11, he said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't hang out with Jezebel. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. For example, the murder of Naboth, who had the vineyard that Ahab wanted, and they raised up false witnesses against him and had him put to death. But that didn't stop Jehoshaphat from hanging out with brother Ahab. Paul said, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, and whatsoever makes manifest is light. He said, therefore, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, remember, Jesus also warned his followers. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how much can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I can just imagine pouring some salt on your french fries that has no taste. You're getting all excited and going, yeah, I'm ready for my french fries. That's what makes them good. But you don't put the salt. If the salt doesn't have a flavor, it doesn't do anything for you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What problems do arise when God's chosen try to make themselves invisible? When Micaiah warned Ahab and his imminent death was imminent, he decided to ask Jehoshaphat to wear the king's robes, his king's robes, while Ahab would be in disguise when he went into battle. Now, one would think if the Syrians wanted to kill a king, maybe Jehoshaphat should at least not make it known that he was a king, but he did. Most likely, King Ahab wasn't worried about family love and getting along in a utopian world of peace. He simply was hoped the Syrians would mistakenly get the wrong man, and he, in disguise, would escape. King Ahab should have known you can't outsmart God, but he was going to be killed, so why not try, right? So that's what happened. Jehoshaphat almost paid with his life when the troops of Syria, who were ordered not to fight against anyone except the king of Israel, they began chasing Jehoshaphat, thinking he was Israel's king. We don't think about results when we hang around with the wrong crowd for the fun and the friendship. We don't want to lose. We can't see into the future. Had Jehoshaphat been able to see the future, carnage, his daughter-in-law would bring on the house of David, how all of the sons of the house of David, except one, would be killed. And it wasn't because she didn't want to kill that one that he wasn't. Jehoshaphat might have thought twice about who he was hanging out with and what he was exposing his family to. During the reign of Queen Athaliah, Satan unleashed total evil. His plan was to destroy the line of King David. But because David's descendants, he wanted to do that because David's descendants were supposed to bring about a Messiah, prophesied in 1 Chronicles 17, verses 12 and 13. This prophecy came through the prophet Nathan. And while David's immediate son Solomon would build a temple, he didn't reign forever, nor did Solomon's physical temple last forever. So we know that this is talking about Jesus. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. Solomon didn't have a throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him who was before you, that being King Saul. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Do you remember another time that Satan tried to destroy the line of David? If you don't, you're going to hear about it in the next couple of months, because the world celebrates Christmas, the story of Jesus' birth, King Herod and the wise men in Matthew 2, 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now back to the time of preceding King Josh. Let me just check the time, speaking of time. Okay, we're in good shape. Preceding Josh, we can see that Jehoshaphat was there, and then after him, there was a king named Joram. Now Joram, he was Athaliah's husband. And when Joram went into battle, he would die. And after him would come another son of her, who was Ahazi. And Ahazi would also be put to death. So after he died, Athaliah would take power. I'm actually summarizing it because it moved away from where I was. So, but basically, Athaliah would rule for 5 years. She would kill off all of the children of her son and try to destroy the line of David. That was her goal, because she wanted to rule. But then it was time that when she did that, she wasn't successful. There was one that would survive, and that would be Joash. Joash would be the one that would live. If we have any comments regarding how far we've got, any comments or questions before we go into the next section, I welcome them. Okay. So now as we go into this next section, we're going to see that, as I told you, Joash didn't have a chance. He was supposed to be killed just like everybody else was. But it didn't go that way. It didn't work that way. He didn't get killed. He survived. He was taken to the temple for 7 years and hidden by Ahaz's sister. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of background that I have got off the internet that I thought was, I liked it because the way they worded it. And so I'm going to give you that background, and then we'll get back into the scripture summary of it. Okay, so the stage is like this. I was reading the summation of the story. Athaliah was queen consort of Judea, and as wife of King Joram, and later a queen reigned for 6 years. Joram, a descendant of King David, actively promoted the worship of Yahweh in his country, but he tolerated Athaliah's worship of Baal. After King Joram's death, their son Ahaziah became Judah's king, with Athaliah acting as queen mother. She used her power to establish Baal worship in Judah. After Ahaziah was killed in a state visit to Israel, along with the then king of Israel, also named Joram, who was Athaliah's brother or possibly nephew, Jehu assassinated them both in Yahweh's name, and Athaliah's entire family, which lived in Israel, was put to death. The article says, some scholars believe that Athaliah was Ahab's sister, as I told you before, but we get into Hebrew, and we don't really need to go to that because of the time that we have. After the death of King Joram, okay, let's go down here a little bit. 2 Chronicles 22. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, when they made, okay, just a second here. Okay, I'm skipping over some footnotes that we have. But basically, so we see that Athaliah was going to just do everything in her power to wipe out this kingdom, and she was going to change it, and she was from Israel originally. So that's what she decided to do. But when Ahab, just a second, let's giving me something that I don't want here. So we see that when she was removed from power, actually the priest Jehoiada decided that he and his and the sister of Joash actually saved her from being killed. They hid her in Samaria. They hid her in the temple. Hid him in the temple. I'm sorry for 7 years. After they did that, they decided to make him king. So when they appointed him king, Athaliah heard the uproar that was going on, and she was like, "What is going on here?" So she said, "I am being betrayed, treason, treason." And she was put to death. The sister was Joashiba, and her husband was Jehoiada, the high priest. They rescued and they took care of the infant prince. They rescued the prince, and then he was made king, and Jerusalem rejoiced. Now that was all good. That was good, but here's the problem. While Jehoiada was alive, Josh was a good king. In fact, the temple had been destroyed pretty much, or really damaged a lot by, maybe not physically destroyed, but really desecrated when Athaliah was queen. But what happened is Joash decided that let's repair the temple. So he launched a temple project, and they put a chest in the temple and collected money from the people in order to repair the temple and restore the temple, which is a wonderful thing that he did. It looked like God had put this king in power, and he was going to be a really godly king. But then Jehoiada the priest died. And when Jehoiada the priest died, then everything changed. Everything changed. Josh was made king, they thoroughly broke in pieces the altars of Baal. They killed Matan, the priest of Baal. They made a covenant with God that they were going to be God's people and God was going to be their God. The captains of the hundreds, the bodyguards, the escorts, and all the people of the land. And they brought the king down to the house of the Lord by way of the gate of the escort to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. He did it for 40 years. The people didn't rejoice that day because the queen had been killed, but they were happy. And as I told you, he started at 7 years old, but during the reign of Jehoiada, he was great. He was doing all he was supposed to be. But when Jehoiada died, he decided what happened is all the people that were under Athaliah, all her administration, seemed to come out of hiding. They started making friends with him. They started getting involved with him. They wanted him to rule in their favor. And all of a sudden, he forgot about the God who had made him king. He forgot about all the good things that he had done. He forgot about how he had repaired the temple. And he started bringing in the idols that Athaliah had before. He started doing all the wicked things that his mother, who would have killed him, was doing. And then a prophet was raised up, Jehoiada's son. Jehoiada's son told him, "You're doing wrong. You're not following God. You're not doing what you used to do. You need to get back right. You need to do it. You need to follow the rules that God has set for you." But the king, in return, stoned him to death for telling him. He stoned him to death. That's the repayment for the goodness of God. You see, what happened is, apparently, King Josh built his life and his service to God around a person. Jehoiada, as long as he was alive, he served God. But when he died, and Jehoiada was buried with the king because he was wonderful. But if you follow a man instead of making your relationship with God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, you're not going to last. Paul warns that the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together, the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that by those of Chloe's house, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am a Paul, or I am Apollos, or I am a Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Though Josh had done great things for the Lord, when his mentor dies, his relationship with God died too. Obviously, despite the initial appearance, Josh and Jehoiada were not of the same mind. They weren't united in service to God. 2 Chronicles 24. Now after the death of and that starts with verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king. This was the previous administration I told you about. And the king listened to them, which he shouldn't have done. Therefore, they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judea and Jerusalem because of their trespasses. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, but they testified against them. And they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. This is, as I told you, the priest who stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. So that's what happened to God's man. Thus, Josh king did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, Lord, look, look on it and repay. Interestingly, when Matthew lists the king's lineage in the kings of David, Josh is omitted. Also, Jesus makes reference to the stoning of Zechariah. We must, as Paul admonishes, continue daily to work on our own salvation. Syria, with a smaller army, attacks Judea and wounds King Josh. Josh was assassinated, and all the good he had done had no value. In closing of this text, let's consider Ezekiel 24. But when a righteous man, Ezekiel 18:24. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness which he is guilty of and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way which is fair, and your ways which are not fair? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions which he committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair? For your ways and your ways which are not fair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. Now, this is what God says to them. This is what God says to us. To turn and live, to let him rule in our lives. And this is what we strive to do as Christians. Is there any comments, any questions? We have a little bit of time if there is anything anybody wants to say or any questions about. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm having a hard time. Was that a question, or I didn't hear all of it?
Where were you reading from that last scripture that you read?
Yeah, where would we be if it wasn't for the grace of God? It's like, it's important.
That last scripture, where was you reading from?
I believe that was Ezekiel 18:24.
Okay.
I think I put... Somehow I said Ezekiel 24, but I believe it's Ezekiel 18:24. That's a good scripture that, when you're talking to someone about repentance, that's a good scripture to look at and take them to, because it shows that you're not going to be accountable for what somebody else does. In other words, even though I told you, we discussed earlier how Jehoshaphat had committed iniquities. The bottom line is Jehoshaphat kept his righteousness. He made mistakes, but he kept his righteousness. And if he would have had a chance to look in the future and see what was going to happen, some of those mistakes he might not have made. But by not letting him see the future, God allowed him to be tested to see, as it says, we'll all be tried in the fire. And so some of the things that God had planned for Jehoshaphat, he didn't do. But he's not responsible for what Josh did. He's not responsible for what Athaliah did. They are individually responsible for what they do. Okay, is there any other questions or comments? Okay, if not, then I will give it to Howard Walters to do the closing prayer. I thank you for allowing me to be here. Sorry that the machine sort of paused for a second there, which threw it off a little bit, but I appreciate your listening, and I hope that it is something that strengthens each of you and helps you as you...